later. Hey, Pastor Jody, have you called somebody? I was like, no, I really don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. So just, he's like, well, just get on it. Just, you can do this. You know, really great encouragement. I'm not kidding you. It was probably a month later. Okay. He's calling me and I'm avoiding his calls. Oh, sorry, Jordan. I was really busy. He's like, Pastor Jody, you got an Apple Watch? I'm like, no. It's so overwhelming to me that I didn't want to face this thing that just was so much bigger in my mind. He finally says, Pastor Jody, I really think this will be helpful for you. I know he's right. I know it's going to be important for your future. Yeah, you're right, Jordan. He said, this is what I'm going to do. If you call them, just call them. Just call somebody. I will give you Chick-fil-A. It did. I know. Now I get it. It did. I went. I said, it wasn't the Chick-fil-A, although it kind of was. But I said, dang, man. Okay. I feel bad that he has to now bribe me to do something for me. For my benefit. He's not benefiting from this. I am. And he, just because he cares about me and he loves me. So I said, okay, fine. So I call them. I get it worked out. I'm not kidding you. It was nothing. It was literally nothing. I called. It was nothing. He did all the work. But I just had to give the okay, let's switch this over. That was it. And I had put off for months something that was so simple just because I was so afraid of facing something that was intimidating. And with that said, have a great... No, just kidding. And this is the story not only of my life, but the people of God. We are in a serious shaking in our history right now. The word promises that anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And a lot of us love to play ostrich. You know, I will probably not get you Chick-fil-A, but I promise you the benefits of this are so much greater than something, a piece of chicken. I'll go get you Chick-fil-A today. I promise you. Well, yeah, exactly. They're closed on Sundays, for those of you who don't know. I'm aware. I'm aware what day it is. It's always the day I want it. Oh, but God is up to something. And if you're like me, even if you're not like me, you are aware of hindrances in our lives that keep us bound to the things that steal from us just because it's too intimidating to face it. And I feel like reminding you what's on the other side is worth it. What's on the other side is worth it. Thanks, Nan. God bless, Nan. I'm going to pray and I'll somewhat go through maybe some of Pastor Sean's notes. Who knows? We're just gonna be the body today. Jesus, we just come to you today, and I thank you that your word is true and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide and discern between the soul and the spirit. And I pray that the word of God today would do just that. Jesus, I am not the teacher today. I recognize that. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. I surrender my mouth, my mind, my body, my thoughts completely over to you. And I invite you to speak what you want to say through me today. And I choose today to be a hearer and a listener and a doer as well. I will hear what you have to say. We will hear what you have to say, not just so that it could fill us up and puff us up, but God, so that we can activate something that you're giving us today. So that we can truly walk out the freedom you've promised for us. Thank you for loving us enough to not let us stay slaves. Thank you for loving us enough to not just talk about freedom, but give us an access to freedom. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you who have not been able to join us for the last few weeks, We are currently in our Deep Roots series. This is season 3. It's important to know where you come from. A lot of people, unfortunately, in modern day Christianity, love to just kind of poo-poo or skip over the Old Testament. And that's so unfortunate. You're actually missing, like, the why. You're missing something. Whenever you see the life of Jesus, he came to fulfill what took place in the Old Testament. So it's important to know your roots. So we talked about Abraham in season 1, but season 3, we are talking about Moses. And so Moses, we know, as a recap for those of you who haven't been around the last couple of weeks, Moses, he's gotten out of Egypt. He was raised in privilege, and he got out of Egypt. Yes, he is delivered out of Egypt. And he goes and he hides in Midian. And he's shepherding in Midian. And life's good for him because he's free. He's free. He's hanging out. He's like, yes, he had privilege. He don't care. That don't mean nothing. He's free. And then 3, Moses encounters God. And everything changes. He meets God in the form of a bush burning. On fire, but not really burning. It's really what it is. And that's the 1 prayer that I think really God has, and we have for every person everywhere, is that we would encounter God. We would encounter the living God, and it would alter us forever. God gives Moses a mission, a mandate, and he gives him an assistant. Okay, so today is considered episode 4. Pastor Sean likes to talk about it. And today's title is The People. Okay, and he told me to say it just like that. The People. Okay, so today we're dealing with the people. Yeah, exactly. You see, because before God gets the people out, he has to work some stuff out of the people. Anybody relate to that one? I don't know. Me too, Pastor Sean. For the record, Pastor Sean's notes are everything he ever says they are. Okay? When he says, my notes say that, they do. They do. They have a million emojis. It's quite awesome. Whenever he has notes in here that say that you're supposed to repeat things, he has a little... in parentheses, he's got a colon and an O. So it's a sideways space going. So that's how he knows to tell you what to say. Oh my gosh, that made me laugh. I said, he goes, he's trying to explain it to me. I said, no, I get it. I saw exactly what that was for. So before God gets them out, he has to work some stuff out of them. And I know about you and me. I don't know about you, but definitely me. There's some things that he's had to get out of me before I can walk into something that he's promised. Oh, but when it comes to the people, you know, the people, that's us, really. We all know it. It's so much easier to just address them. Yeah. So they are asking for freedom. They've been crying out and begging God for freedom. But God can't give them the freedom they're asking for because they won't be able to maintain it. Because there is no real relationship with the God of their forefathers. You see, God has to do something in you before he can take you to the place he's promised. Because you're not really ready for it. You know, if we get something out of season, then we can ruin it or use it to ruin ourselves. He loves to use the example of Ellie. I don't know if you've had a conversation with Elizabeth May, but it can seem quite mature at times. She told me the other day, last Sunday, on Celebration Resurrection Sunday, she said, how old are you? I said, I said, I'm 42. She goes, that's old. I said, it's older than you. I said, but have you seen Nana? No, I didn't. Oh, You can have a very intellectual conversation with Elizabeth May. And it can appear quite mature. And she could be quite mature for her age. But I am not giving her the keys to my car. Cole Lara was probably one of the most verbal kids I ever met. He was in a car seat having full conversations. And I remember looking at him and I'd be like, oh. And I remember Wendy literally saying, Cole, I'm tired. How about you drive? And she gave him the keys. And he's in his car seat and he's holding the keys. He goes, but I will crash. Even he knew. It doesn't matter how verbal, it doesn't matter how mature you think you are, things will come to test that. Think about it. So many of us at some point in time might have been crying out for a relationship, a romantic one. But sometimes you enter that relationship and realize, A, you're not ready for a relationship, and they aren't. It can be very complicated and complex if you don't get stuff worked out, right? You can get the gift of marriage, but you could sabotage it if you have not dealt with the stuff inside of you, right? If you're addicted to pornography and you think having sex under the guise of God's permission is going to fix it all, it's not. Okay? Newsflash, it's going to cause some problems. Same with unforgiveness. You have unforgiveness towards your mother who abandoned you, and you marry a woman, and you haven't dealt with that issue. Same with the father. It'll come up. You haven't dealt with the last relationship. Okay, I'm moving on. I don't know where I just got you. You guys, a lot of examples here. You see, there's a perfect time and a season. I think we have a sign. There's a perfect time and a season. So do the work that needs to be done in the season that you're in. Let it be done in us first, God, so that it can be done around us next. It's hard. It's hard. It's so much easier to focus on the problems of the people around us. For those of you who might know some of my story, my parents were pastors of a church. If you are confused and you thought I was Pastor Sean and Pastor Heidi's daughter, I'm not. Although Ellie did give me the name Jody Rogers Capozzi last, she said that was my name. That was my full name, Jody Rogers Capozzi. I said, okay. But my parents were pastors for many years. I grew up in the church. I loved Jesus. I loved spending time with him. I loved serving him. And in the course of all of that, my dad had undealt with issues. And he fell in ministry. He had an affair on my mother. Their marriage failed. And he didn't deal with the things in him. And it affected everyone around him. And I know that I was angry and bitter. How could you do that? Come on. That's what's the problem with the church today. You know? And then I remembered. Somebody said something to me. Kind of put me back in check. Said, you're one decision away from being exactly like them. We love to create the distance between us and that other person. Because they're so evil. We love to dehumanize that other person and make them the essence of evil. Because it's easier to deal with that sometimes than to deal with what's going on inside of us. Let me tell you, it humbled me. Because the truth is, I am one decision away from being exactly like my dad. So God, I need your help. I need you to come in. I need you to help me. I need you to show me all the areas of bondage in my own life so that it doesn't ever come to a place like that. Let God do the work on you so that he can do a work through you. You know, you might not ever really see the fruit until later. But that's exactly what he's doing with the people. The people then and the people now. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 31, it says. So the people believed. And they heard. The people believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the Israelites and that he had looked with compassion on their suffering, then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. They had spent hundreds of years in bondage, generations in bondage. I don't know if you realize this, but Egypt was initially supposed to be a place of refuge. Joseph had been captured. He made it into Egypt, and then there was a famine in the land, and the people of Israel went and were saved by the things that happened in Egypt. Sometimes the things that you ran to that were good at one point became something that you never let go of, and then it becomes a slave. You become a slave to it. You don't realize it. For a while, the fear of man was something that kept me from walking in disobedience to my parents.
I was so afraid, man, they go find out. They find out everything.
They do. I was in sixth grade. There was a party going on. And I said, I'm gonna sneak out. I'm downstairs. They're upstairs. I'm going to sneak out tonight. And I remember praying, Jesus, help me just fall asleep because I'm going to do this. And they're going to find out. They always find out. They had me fall asleep because I, and thank God I did. There was, police were involved. Man, that would have been a different story. My brother got away with everything and I got away with nothing. I knew this. So the people believed once they were told God wants to free them. And they heard. When they heard that God wanted to free them, sometimes, hearing is not the problem. It's truly listening. Because they heard that the Lord was concerned about the Israelites, that he had looked upon them with compassion on their suffering. And then they responded. And they responded their head by bowing their heads and worshiped. Then they worshiped God. You don't always have to wait to feel it before you worship God. You know, I think things might have been a little better for them if they had just maintained a lifestyle of worshiping the God of their forefathers. But instead, they had to be brought to this place where they heard that God was concerned and cared about them, and they responded in worship. I bet you they probably hadn't been worshiping. Honestly, they probably didn't because they didn't really have a relationship with this God at this time. But once they heard, then they bowed their heads. We should learn to be the people that worship in all circumstances. That song, this is how I fight my battles. It's fun to sing. It's hard to sing when you get a negative doctor's report. It's hard to sing it. Because you sit there and you think, okay, how does dancing and clapping my hands and singing a song, how does that affect anything? But honestly, it affects everything. Because it affects what's going on inside of you. It may not change your circumstances, but it changes your perspective on your circumstances. So I get to worship God in every season of my life because he's consistent. Even whenever I'm not, even when my circumstances are not, even when the value of the dollar is not, he is. So I can worship him in the midst of every circumstance. And that is how I fight my battles. Not with singing a song, but with changing my perspective through singing a song about who God is. Who is your God to you? What has he done in your life? Remember that. He's the God who went before me and fought that battle. He's the one that redeemed my life from the pit of hell. He's the one that set me free from addiction. He's the one that lifted me up out of my shame. He's that God. Oh, okay, yeah, I got to come up with a couple $100 for this thing. But he was the God who did all that. Why can't he do this? It's reorienting our understanding. You see, People should learn to live a life of worship under all circumstances. And that is the real reason why God said, let my people go, that they may go and worship me. That's why he told Pharaoh to let them go. You see, the people had an initial response of bowing, but so did Pharaoh. He had an initial response. Whenever he was told, let my people go and worship me, his response was, nope. And instead, he said, why don't you go back, get on here, go. Go make those bricks. But this time, I'm going to make it even more complicated for you. I'm going to take away the straw. You got to get your own straw. He was mad. He said, I'm going to make things harder for you. You see, Moses was warned that Pharaoh's heart was going to be hard, but walking through it is another situation. Exodus 6, verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. Pastor Sean said, that's the next episode, what he's going to do to Pharaoh. It says, for under compulsion, he will have no other choice. He will not only let them go, but under compulsion, he will drive them out of the land. He will say, leave, take anything you want, just go, get away from me. I love this. It says, that's the next verse, I'm sorry. So God, the God who loves them, that desires their freedom, even almost increases the opposition against them so that he can get the stuff out of them. If you have not surrendered your life over to Jesus yet, I'm going to tell you a truth. The truth is, once you do, things will get a little harder. It will get harder. You don't serve Jesus because things get easier when you do. You serve God because, A, he made you to, and he died for you, and you need a Savior, but he's also going to be with you. I don't know. That's beautiful. Because the truth is, whenever all the stuff is shaking, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to have to face it. I don't want to have it be on my shoulders. I get to cast it over to him. Thank you, Jesus. So Moses was warned about Pharaoh's heart. But in Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 5, it says, God spoke further to Moses and he said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. His name, El Shaddai, God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. He wants to make himself known. He said he didn't make himself known to them by the acts and great miracles. But he prospered them all. I think it's in verse 4. But he prospered them all. He says, I established my covenant with them to give them a land in Canaan, the land in which they lived as strangers, temporary residents, and foreigners. And I have also heard the groaning of the sons of Israel whom the Egyptians have enslaved. And I have faithfully remembered my covenant that I made before you were ever born with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wants to take you beyond the place of knowing him based on his actions and his great miracles. But so many times, that's our basis of a relationship with God. His acts and his miracles. You delivered me from this. It's an act and a miracle. Thank you, God, for getting me out of that situation. How many times do we pray, God, if you just get me out of this? I did all the time, especially as a teenager. Oh, God, I promise I will serve you all the days of my life if you just make him look over here and ask me out on a date. Jesus. Whatever the situation is. God wants to take us beyond knowing him based on just his acts and his miracles. He wants to establish a relationship, a covenant with us, which is so much richer. It's so much richer to know Kirsten and her humor and the things that make her laugh and the things that she does. It's so much richer to know her than just to receive her compliments. Those are nice. I love them. And your sweet, thoughtful gifts are wonderful. But the real treasure comes from knowing her. We all know this. If you got married to somebody because they were beautiful and they were real sweet and they were, you know, smell good, they got some nice stuff. Those things all wear off. They do. Let me tell you. They do. You know, I'm not married, so I can't speak from experience, but I always found it interesting when these two cute little old people are sitting there at their 50th wedding anniversary and they sweetly say with tears in their eyes, "I love you more now than I did." I'm like, he has to like take his teeth out, you know, every night. You know, you got to help trim, you know, eyebrow hairs and nose hairs. You know, you got, you know, she needs help putting those stockings on, you know, at night. They sleep with a CPAP machine, you know. It's like, that's complicated. And the reason why is because when you go through things, when you go through things with somebody else, it deepens the love you have. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore if she doesn't color her hair. That doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter that he's got to have a hearing aid. Those things don't matter anymore. Because you were there when we lost our first child. You were there when I lost my parents. You were there through all of these experiences. And relationship is forged in the midst of hardship. And the same is our relationship with God. I don't serve God because he does great things for me. I serve God because he was with me. He was with me when I was held in addiction. He was with me. He didn't forget me. Though I made my bed in hell, he was right there with me. And I could bring all my questions to him. He was right there with me on the side of the 40. As my life was falling apart all around me, he was right there in those hospital rooms when I'd have to go from room to room to room and not know what the outcome was going to be. He was right there with me when my parents fell apart after 24 years of my living. And I had no home. I had no job. I had no family. He was right there with me. So I love him. And I thank him for giving me an incredibly huge house to live in at dirt cheap. I thank him for blessing my life with a daughter I don't deserve. I thank God for paying my bills every month. He's so faithful to me. He doesn't have to be. But that's not why I serve him. And that's the same God that heard them crying out for freedom. It's the same God that heard them crying out in their bondage, and his love for them wanted to work some things out so that they would not be dependent on a circumstance or a situation. They would serve him because they were relationally, covenantally connected. And that's what he wants to do with us. He doesn't want you to be at the base of your relationship with him, serving him just because he gives you what you want. He wants a relationship. So he heard their cries. He had established a covenant with their forefathers, and now he wanted to do the same with them. And so the promises sometimes can be sometimes the promises of what can be is exhausting. Great. When I retire, I'll be able to, you know, take in, you know, $3,000 a month. Great. But right now, I can't even, you know, rub two nickels together. Great. Sometimes it's overwhelming. The promises are so overwhelming that we don't have time to think about what we're facing. And I think this is what the people of Israel were saying. In Exodus chapter 6, in verse 6, God says to tell Moses to tell the people, he said, tell the people, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will free you from your bondage. I will redeem and rescue you with an outstretched, powerful arm, with great acts of judgment against Egypt. That was the promise. So I say, hey, you can be delivered. You can be delivered from all addiction. You can be delivered from all hopelessness and despair. You can be delivered from all grief, all things that weigh you down. You can be completely delivered. And a lot of times we get stuck on, yeah, but right now, what's in front of me is so much louder than what can be. Verse 7 says, then, or after all that, I will take you for my people. And I will be your God, and you shall know that you will be, and you will be certain and have unquestioned displays of, to show you that I am the Lord your God. And I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem you because I want to make you my people. I'm going to bring you to the land. But in Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, Moses says this. He said, I go tell the people, and they're just like, great, great. I love that. That's good for us. Yeah. So while you're living in your pipe dream, we're still making bricks. Okay, guys? That's how they responded, because they're the people. But in verse 9, Moses told this to the Israelites, and they did not listen to him because of their impatience and their despondency. That word despondency, in case you don't know, it means a state of low spirits causing loss of hope or courage. If you've never had your heart ripped out of you, praise God. But when you do, sometimes the lack of hope for change or the lack of courage to change will cause you to become detached, which means despondent. The people were so weighed down with their bondage that they were impatient. They wanted that freedom right now. And because of their loss of hope and courage, they had become detached. Some of you have been coming to a church for years and years and years, but you are detached because you are weighed down. And it says that they became impatient and despondent because of their forced labor, their bondage. Caused them to live a life of hopelessness. And they didn't even have enough hope for change or courage to make that change. And I believe that today, some of you are in the very same situation. You have dealt with the same bondage for so long that you have lost hope and you have lost courage. And I believe that God today wants to remind you that he's working something in you before he can bring you into a place of true freedom. I mean, it's so nice to just like, you know, good, I don't do that thing anymore. And God does that. God can do that. God can deliver people from sickness and disease. He can heal them right away. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But sometimes he works something in you, like self-discipline. Do you know what I'm saying? I remember, at 12 years old, I had serious issue of unforgiveness, and it literally became a heart issue, a physical heart issue. The major valve in my heart would not close right. They were considering surgery. I was very sick. I was passing out. It was overwhelming. My unforgiveness presented itself in a physical issue. It happens all the time. Ask any doctor. They can tell you that. Stress breaks down the lining of your gut and your body attacks it. And like, that is physical. Jesus already said it. God's word already says it, but now we're catching up with medicine and stuff so they can see how it really takes place. And I remember praying and asking God, heal my heart. God, heal my heart. I don't want to have surgery. I don't have open heart surgery. I don't want to have pig's valve in my heart. You know, like all these things. I was so afraid. I was 12. And God said to me, I can't heal your heart. I can't heal your heart because you'll break the next one. Because it's not a physical heart issue. It's the unforgiveness. You are not forgiving. And because you're not forgiving, you're going to continue to destroy the things. Some of our blessings that God is wanting to give to us, and we're mad that he hasn't given them to us. We cannot handle them right now because there's things in our heart that he's trying to work out. Do we care enough about that? Do we want that enough? I believe that every person at some point in time that's stuck in brokenness comes to the place where they have to make this decision. Am I sick and tired of this bondage enough to do the work? To do the work to get free? You know, there's people all the time that you talk to and they're asking you for one thing, but what they really need is something different. You say, man, I can give this to you, but that's not going to fix the issue. My $5... my glove box, it's not going to fix the issue that leaves you on the side of the road. I'm not saying don't give it. I'm not saying to give it. I'm just saying I know and I'm fully aware that what I'm giving you is not going to be enough. Do you want change? Do you want real freedom? Or do you want a new land? Do you want real freedom? Or do you want to just not be in Egypt anymore, not have to work so hard? Do you want real freedom? Because if you want real freedom, you're going to have to surrender the wrong that was done to you as a small child that left a wound in your heart. That's hard. The failed marriage after the failed marriage after the failed marriage might not just be because of everyone else. There could be something broken in you that has caused so much pain that you push everybody else away. And they can't come close. The God who is alive and real and wants you to have freedom, he's not all about making you feel better. He wants to make you better. He wants to get the Egypt, the lifestyle that you have lived for so long that really was bondage to you. He wants to get that out of you. And he's the same God who did it for them that he's going to do it for us. Are you tired? I'm tired. I'm so tired of seeing people taking their own lives. And they've gone to our church. They've walked in churches their whole life. And they're so hopeless and in such despair because they played a good game, but the bondage that was inside of them was never dealt with. I'm tired of seeing the divorce rates go up and up and up and the suicide rates go up and up and up. I'm tired of those things because at the root of it is some kind of bondage that God loves us enough to set us free. But do we want it? Or do we just want to feel good? Do I just want to live in comfort? I'm comfortable. I don't know about you, but it's more comfortable to sit in my unforgiveness towards my dad. Because I'm justified. It's okay. I feel comfortable in hating that person that violated me as a child. I'm more comfortable in that. But does that bring me freedom? It actually brings me bondage. I'm more comfortable with just taking my medicine every day or taking that hit than actually dealing with the rejection and abandonment of my mom or my dad. That's the truth. And the real gospel, the one that changes the world, is the one that says, whatever bondage you're in, God is powerful enough and he cares enough to set you free. That's the real message of Jesus. He came to not only get you out of your situations, but to get your situations out of you. That's what he came for. He didn't come to just get us to heaven, but he came to place heaven inside of us so that he could invade this earth with the heaven that lives inside of you. There are no tears in heaven. There's no bondage in heaven. And that's the kind of God that's here today. I don't know what your story looks like. I don't know what your situation is. But God wants to make you a deliverer for the people around you. But he can't do it if you're stuck in bondage. If you're still stuck in your unforgiveness and your hatred towards that person that wronged you, I think that today God wants to do something in your heart. I think he wants you to really be free. We can come to church and look really pretty every Sunday. We can put on a good face and say, bless God, a million times. But as long as you're going home and crying yourself to sleep, or as long as you're going home and turning to other things to fix whatever's going on inside of you, you will never truly become liberated. You have to take that nastiness. You got to take that addiction. You got to take that brokenness and you got to give it over. Expose it to the perfect God that loves you. This is the state I'm in. I'm constantly in debt and I don't know why. Maybe it's not because you don't make enough money. Maybe it's because you don't know how to spend it. And I need freedom. I'm addicted to spending. I'm addicted to whatever. We like to use addiction as, you know, the worst things. All of us are. It's so much easier to just check out and scroll on my phone than to read my Bible and have God convict me of the things that are going on in my heart. So much easier when a stressful day is coming just to turn on the TV and just sit there and let it watch me.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just going to let the TV watch me today. So much easier to deal with that than to actually face what we're facing. Today, I know the Spirit of God is already here. And he wants us to be the church. And we can't be the church as long as we're stuck in bondage. The real, true God that walked them out of Egypt is here today. And he wants to walk you out of your Egypt. I'm going to pray right now that the Spirit of God would start to say some things to you. Because it's not a relationship with me as a mediator or Pastor Sean as a mediator. The God of the universe wants to have a conversation and a relationship with you. Maybe there's some things going on inside of your heart right now. You feel it stirring right now. I know that he wants to talk to you exactly where you're at. So, Father, I just come to you right now and I thank you that you are a true and living God. I thank you that you care and that you see. God, whenever we cried out to you and we asked you to deliver us and save us, God, from our situations, we thank you, God, that you did more than that. You did so much more than that. You wanted to get that stuff out of us so that we could not just have the appearance of freedom, but literally walk in freedom. God, I pray that we would come to this place in our heart where we no longer care about what we look like. We don't care about what we look like as long as we're free. Help us to lose our pride. Help us to desire you more than the approval of men. God, there's some people in here that have some serious wounds. And they've come to church for years and they feel better for a second. But they've never had you touch their broken heart. God, I pray that right now you would start ministering to them. God, for people that are in this place that are struggling and they go back and forth constantly to addiction, whether it's addiction to their phones or addiction to porn or addiction to drugs or addiction to alcohol or addiction to the approval of people, addiction to money, addiction to spending, addiction to whatever, God, you have the power to speak that right now. Show them. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to show us right now where we're still in bondage. show us where we're still in bondage. Some of you are getting pictures right now of different things. Some of you have just had a person pop into your mind, their name or their face. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it is about that person or that word. Let him talk to you right now. The God who brings true freedom today is here, and he's speaking to you because he cares about the bondage you found yourself in. If you're tired today, if you're tired of living in that bondage and you want freedom, I'm going to invite you to come forward. When you come forward, it's not a sign of weakness, but it's a sign of shedding your pride and saying, I need God. I need him to come. If you're here today and you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart and you've tried to forgive and you just find yourself into a cycle where they have control of your mind, will, and emotions because of whatever they did, I'm going to invite you to come forward. We're going to pray with you. And we're going to invite the God that delivered them from Egypt. He's going to deliver you from hatred and unforgiveness. If you have hatred in your heart and unforgiveness, I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you're dealing with an addiction, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Are you tired yet? Are you tired of going back and feeling the shame and the guilt? Are you tired yet? If you're tired, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Some of you have been weighed down from addictions and problems for so long, you don't even know where to start. But today you're going to choose to surrender it over to God. Your physical illness, your emotional brokenness, if that's you, I'm also going to invite you to come forward. So if any of those things resonate in your heart and you feel your heart is on fire, you feel a heaviness on your chest, that's the Spirit of God, and he wants to bring freedom to you. If that's you, come on up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you are the God that frees us. You are the God that frees us. For those of us that have tried for so long to free our own hearts, God, and it doesn't work, we thank you that you gave us another option. You gave us your son. I'm going to invite my prayer team to come. And we're going to pray for you right now. And the rest of you, as you're waiting, I want to encourage you to pray for the people that have made the step today of this. If you are far from God and you want to be connected to him new and fresh, your relationship with God has been weathered and just tarries, today is the day of salvation for you. I don't want you to leave this place with hatred and unforgiveness in your heart. I don't want you to leave this place with a broken relationship with God. He's here for you today because he loves you and he cares about you. He cares about what you're struggling with. Enough to bring freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. It was so wonderful when you were a little kid and you saw David totally slay that giant. And he was powerful. And then you grew up and you wondered again, is he really that powerful? He's really that powerful. The things that you love about God as a child, he's going to show you that he is the same God that you thought he was as a child. He's the same God today. You didn't mature and grow up, and your perspective of who God is changed, but that didn't change who he is. Okay? You love a fierce, strong God. He's going to show you that he is that. He's not weak. He's not a pushover. He's not a wuss. He kicks butt and takes name. Sorry, Pastor Heidi. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. Thank you, Jesus, for your freedom. What a beautiful day to celebrate his love. We get to do it every day. And as God is working out all the bondage in us, may he take us to the world that is broken with the same bondage that we walked in, and we can display to them, hey, I know that you may be addicted to meth, but that's okay because God can deliver you just like he did me. I know that you are so stuck in the pain of that molestation, but God can deliver you. You're not broken. I know you're stuck in sickness, but God healed me. He can heal you. I know that you have struggles in your thoughts and your mind, but that's okay because he can bring peace to you. He did to me. That's what he's building. He's building his people. His people, and we are his people. Let's go ahead and stand. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for setting the captives free today. Jesus, you said, I came to set the captives free, and you did it today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we serve a true and living God that is powerful. And whenever you resonated to the people, is my arm too short to save? We declared back, no, it's not. We know it's not. You saved us. I pray, Father, for a hedge of protection over every person that experienced freedom today. And when the enemy comes back and he tries to knock on that door again, I thank you that they would expose the blood of Jesus that truly brings freedom. Nothing that they do, all that you did, God. And they will testify of what you've done. And that enemy would have no place, no foothold. We thank you, God, that you are walking Egypt out of us and then walking us out of Egypt. We bless you, Jesus. We are your people and you are our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are officially dismissed. Please continue to pray for Pastor and everyone else that may not be feeling well, but let's celebrate who God is together.